Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, the 22nd of July, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. I wondered out loud if there's any big interest in the first one-on-one debate between incumbent Democratic Governor Ned Lamont and his upcoming primary challenger, Hamden State Rep. Josh Elliott, columnist and blogger Chris Powell, and Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist Dan Haar both previewed the big debate and weighed in on its importance.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, it's debate time in the wonderful Nutmeg State, the Constitution State. It's all here tonight coming up. You just may have caught last segment on the download with John and Chris, a segment earlier in the week, earlier today with Mike Cerulli from WTNH, our friends at News 8, and Lisa Wexler talking about the big debate tonight. It's on News 8. It begins at 7 p.m., and it's going to be interesting. Listen, I think most people are apt to say, hey, Ned Lamont's got this in the bag. Yeah, he may have this in the bag, but it's going to be interesting to see, because remember now, this is going to be, unless something drastic happens, this is likely to be Ned Lamont's last term. I mean, obviously, he's, what, 70, 71, 72, whatever? A third term is usually unprecedented, so the fact that he would go for a fourth term, not happening. But can Josh Elliott win the night tonight? Can he lose the debate but still win the battle? You see what I'm saying here? Can, you know, there's that old phrase, you lose the fight, you lose the battle, but win the war. Can he do that eventually? Can he lose the battle tonight because Connecticut is so entrenched with the Democratic power brokers and the entrenched Democratic leadership in Hartford? But does Josh Elliott have a chance here, an eventual chance, maybe not this year, but in 2030, to win the war? Because maybe Connecticut is still a little too steeped in the old Democratic tradition with, you know, some flashes of progressivism, DSA, Democratic Socialists of America. Is the change happening? Is tonight going to be the big change, even if Josh Elliott, by the mark of the pundits, doesn't win tonight? Right now, if you're on video, you see me doing win with the air quotes. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. What do you think? In fact, if you tend to be, and if we've talked before on the show especially, if you tend to be a little bit more on the progressive side, are you going into tonight saying, well, listen, it's an uphill fight, David v. Goliath, but Josh is a tough guy, he's a smart guy, and can he, you know, to use the old boxing metaphors that guys and gals like my age grew up with in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, can you land some body blows on Ned Lamont? Do you criticize him, as the progressives do a lot, for, you know, not wanting to raise taxes? Does Josh Elliott push his plan tonight? And I'm assuming he will, because you would think the questioning of power bills and electric bills and energy expenses comes up. Does Josh Elliott push back against the governor who's saying, well, we're going to hold the feet of Eversource and UI to the fire? Well, governor, how's that worked out? In your two terms and Dan Malloy's terms before that, how has that exactly worked out? And another question, will you be watching this tonight or listening, or will you be watching this evening? And do debates matter? And I ask this all the time. Now, sometimes they really do. Even in the modern times that we're in, witness Joe Biden, with all due respect to the former president. You remember back in June of 2024, just over 2 years ago, he did not have his best night. And people are now coming to the grips that, you know, the first few minutes of that debate swung again a massive burgeoning political pendulum in this country. But could you possibly see that from tonight? Now, again, Ned Lamont's going to be not exhibiting, as the former First Lady Jill Biden said, stroke-like symptoms. I don't think so. I don't think we're going to be hearing the First Lady of the state, Annie Lamont, talk about, use the phrase as Mrs. Biden did, I thought he was having a stroke. I'm doubting that's going to happen tonight. I don't think so. But I'm asking you that, you know, whether or not a debate really, really could change your mind, or a debate really, really could win an election or lose an election. It certainly did for, I believe, Joe Biden. But number one, will you be watching tonight? And number two, who's your pick? And maybe, I don't want to say limit, but I'd love to hear from people out there who despise Republicans, who never vote Republican, who always vote Democrat, always do the big D or the little D. I'll take the blue, not the red. I'll take progressivism over, you know, lazy conservative-ism, you may be saying. And have you caught that kind of progressive itch a little more? Now, when you think about it, what you hear from Josh Elliott is not uber leftist. It's really not. In fact, a lot of folks, including the guy blabbing behind the mic right here, kind of like the idea of trying to go, and it would be a long, arduous, incredibly expensive process legally and legislatively and money-wise to pull this off. Yeah, a state-owned or individual municipalities going back to ownership of their electric grids here in the state, man, wouldn't that be something? Now, you're talking about a long time before this could ever happen. So all this will be interesting tonight. It is the incumbent Democratic governor, two terms, going for term number three, Ned Lamont. He's going to face off against Josh Elliott. Now, the two, along with Ryan Fazio, did a forum, a candidate's forum, I think in Bridgeport the other day, that was kind of interesting. But this is going to be one-on-one. This is going to be mano-a-mano here. You know, and if Josh Elliott has any chance or any notion that he could possibly pull this off, maybe he just comes out swinging. A, will you be watching? And B, I'd love to hear from you. Talk or text at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Love to hear from you if you're a progressive or a Democrat. And maybe you've voted in the past once for Ned Lamont or twice for Ned Lamont and think he's a good guy, but maybe some of you are out there saying, yeah, you know what, but why don't we try somebody a little younger? Why don't we try somebody who's got fresher ideas? Or is it does this still continue to be, as they say, the land of steady habits? How about that? Do traffic and weather together. News coming up bottom of the hour. A lot more business, too, right here on WICC.
Is there any doubt in your mind that you would be able to function in such circumstances?
Not at all, Mr. Truitt, and I want you to know that also I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Remember that? Can you imagine if Ned Lamont did that tonight regarding... I'm sorry. I had to do that. It's one of the great debate moments of all time. Whether you were a fan of Mr. Reagan's or not, whether you hated or loved trickle-down economics, that debate still goes on and on and on. But how about that? Wasn't that funny? It really was. Back when our politics was a lot less, shall we say, vitriolic, shall we say, back in the last time, in a far begone time where you might get a little crazy, a little nuts at a dinner here and there, and Reagan did his jokes and his opponents did their jokes, and that was it. You didn't have, oh, God, we didn't have social media. We didn't have people calling each other pedophiles when there was no evidence. Didn't have people calling each other libtards, too. Remember, that's always a famous one, too. That's one I like that. But in all seriousness, Is age a factor here? And I don't mean age being a factor in a negative way. Look, Ned Lamont seems to be still sharp as a tack. Listen, he loves the job. I have heard from everybody close to him and far away from him who I've had on this show, and they've said he loves the job. He's got a lot of money. He's got a ton of money. He's not about having to get up in the morning and say, well, geez, how am I going to make more millions of dollars today? He's worth hundreds of millions. But, you know, you'd kind of never know it. But on the other hand, you've got Josh Elliott, a younger guy with a family business, well-known grocery store in the town of Hanbin up there on Whitney Avenue. I used to go there a lot when I was working in the area. Very convenient. Although, you know what, I mean this with all the love in my heart, because I'm no physical specimen here, obviously, but a lot of you people that go to the market, the family store that Josh Elliott owns is a natural kind of natural food store, but there's a lot of regular stuff in there. But man, oh man, you people that shop in natural food stores, eat more of it, please. I'm begging you. I know they're probably 10 times healthier than I am, but did you ever notice that? No, and I mean this with all the distinct love in my heart. I'm dead serious. I am dead serious. Mr. Elliott's store had a wonderful selection. I ended up buying some organic candies there. It was nice. I puttered around there in the aisles. Oh, that looks cool. Look at that. Look at that. Yeah. Maybe this is better than the store-bought brand. Okay. But my God, you people that go to natural food stores, eat more of it. Your clothes are hanging off you. Stop looking like natural hangers. A clothes hanger shouldn't have operating eyes, a mouth, and ears, if you know what I mean. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. So again, this tonight, and you know what? It's too bad. And look, it's great Channel 8 is doing this. News 8 is doing this. It's great that, and they have to do it now, I guess, because obviously the primaries, the last day you can vote in the primaries is primary day on the 11th of August. But God almighty, these summer primaries, and we've talked about it on this show. These primaries, that you got to get them out of the summer. You just do. You just do. The primaries should be in September. Kids go back to school, what, last week of August at the latest first week of September? Make the primaries in this state the second week of September, and then after that, you've got, you've roughly got about 8, 9 weeks to campaign. That's it. Make it a compressed schedule. Because you wonder how many people are going to be actually paying attention tonight. The ones that are paying attention tonight, good on you. Will you be paying attention? That's what I was wondering today, tonight, tomorrow. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And, has a debate ever changed your mind? Now, we used to say we were on a gradual uptake of saying, no, it's not going to change our mind. You get deluged with push ads on your digital devices, yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, 2 years ago this past June, Joe Biden v. Donald Trump. I remember listening to it on the radio, of course, in my car. I was running back and forth. They said, oh, you know what, I'll watch the highlights when I get home. And unfortunately, we heard Mr. Biden do what he did. And I remember staring at my radio going, oh, my God, this one is actually going to matter. And it did. Do you think the debate tonight is going to matter in the end? Now, maybe it does. Maybe you have people saying, oh, yeah, Lamont's on tonight, and he's got that young guy's running against him. That, what is he? Edward? No, honey, Elliot. Josh Elliott, yeah. From Hamden, runs a grocery store, legislator up there, let me take a look. Or is this just, I don't want to say waste of time, because exchanging political ideas is never, ever, ever a waste of time. It's not. I don't care how crazy one side or the other may be. But having said that, So you tell me, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC, talk or text, either way. Well, the big question we start off with today, will you watch tonight's Democratic gubernatorial debate between Governor Ned Lamont, the incumbent, and State Rep. Josh Elliott of Hamden? And who, in this marquee matchup, this steel cage match, no time limit, no fall limit, no time limit, who will come out on top? Right now, though, in his stead, in the 4 o'clock hour, our monthly check-in with Chris Powell. Check out all his columns and blogs, chrispowellcolumn.com, chrispowellcolumn.com. Mr. Powell, good afternoon, sir. How might you be today?
Popping Noxitrils and sipping Grecian formula.
Grecian formula. Wow. Wow. What are you going to chase it with? Nervine? Remember that? Oh, man.
Yeah, it's enough for me.
Yeah. The era of 60s television commercials. Is Chris Powell the political tout or the political bookie? Will he be watching the debate tonight? And how do you think, Chris, this stacks up? Before we get to your columns, this is interesting. You know, for his long-term political, what word could I use? Political oomph in the state. I think even if he loses tonight, I think Josh Elliott and his movement kind of wins. What do you think?
Well, certainly he's been riling up the far left in the Democratic Party, and I think the governor is very worried about him because the governor is constantly making these feints to the left. John Larson seems trying to pander to the left in the first district Democratic primary as well. We're going to see, I think, what the Democratic Party in Connecticut is made of. Is there anybody who wants to come out and vote in the Democratic Party who's not on the far left? Are there any moderates or even conservatives left in the Democratic Party? I wonder if the governor can motivate people to vote. Certainly all the noise and excitement seems to be on the leftist side, on Elliott's side. So, yes, I do plan to watch tonight. I wonder with these things whether, they get any general public audience or if it's just the partisans who are watching.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting, Chris, and the fact that we don't have open primaries here, too, might kind of lessen the impact here. Couple of your recent columns. Number one, and we've been carrying it as a news item here for the past few days, this kind of posturing between Yale and the White House, and just an interesting cha-cha as some other schools have chose to settle with Mr. Trump.
Yeah, I was kind of distressed when I saw those 8 Democratic legislators threatening Yale with the loss of its property tax exemptions if Yale doesn't refuse to settle with the Justice Department. I mean, I thought that was blackmail. I mean, Yale has got questionable admissions procedures. They're on the hook with the Justice Department. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't they, to protect the university, want to at least negotiate the issue? But here's 8 of the far left Democratic legislators threatening to pull Yale's tax break if they simply talk to the Justice Department. And the wonderful irony here is that Yale's tax exemption in New Haven should be reduced. Yale has 43% of the tax-exempt property in New Haven. Mm-hmm. And 53% of the real estate in New Haven is already tax exempt.
Yep.
It's just too damn disproportionate. I mean, Yale's making a voluntary payment to the town. They just to the city. They just increased that. Mm-hmm. But 43% of the tax exempt property in New Haven belongs to Yale, and they don't have to pay taxes on it. It's if New Haven it was much bigger geographically, this wouldn't matter. But it's just too disproportionate, and the tax exemption should be cut back. But you got these 8 Democratic legislators who can't be persuaded to do the right thing unless they can coerce Yale out of not talking to the Trump administration. This is blackmail.
Yeah, pretty much. Chris Powell is with us, the guest once a month. Check it out, chrispowellcolumn.com. Again, Chris, this mind-numbingly stupid, I think, at least from an electoral point of view, phrase, abolish ICE. And again, it seems like the Democratic Party, both locally, Chris, and nationally, will not divorce itself from that, even though you have some of their own members saying, hey, stop saying this stuff or we're not going to win anymore.
Yeah, I see. You know, a lot of the Democratic campaign stuff here in the 1st District and, you know, for the governor primary, and 90% of it says abolish ICE on it or stop ICE. And I just find it remarkable that the Democrats want to abolish ICE, but none of them says, you know, we should abolish illegal immigration. They must seem to want illegal immigration. Now, of course, ICE can be criticized.
Sure.
The methods of immigration law enforcement certainly need to be discussed. I think that, you know, we could eliminate a lot of the cruelty in immigration enforcement if we required employers nationally and here in Connecticut to use the federal government's E-Verify system of determining whether somebody is eligible for employment in the United States, and then prosecuting employers that illegally hire people. I think, would eliminate most of the cruelty in immigration law enforcement. You go after the employers, you know, more than the immigrants who are, you know, working under the table. You know, the people who complain about ICE, they don't want E-Verify used either. I think they want the illegal immigration. They want to stop ICE, but they don't have any constructive proposal about whether and how to enforce immigration law. And I think they just don't want any immigration law. They want open borders again.
And, you know, to me, Chris, when I hear something like that, and whether it's immigration or racial politics or whatever, I read years ago, and I'm sure you've read it from different people, when we finally solve a problem, it means that the money dries up for one side or the other or both. And, Chris, whether it's some of these race hucksters out there, race baiters, or these so-called, you know, immigration, in air quotes, advocates, I mean, to me, what else can it be? If we had a truly, for example, colorblind society, or if we had an immigration system that was fine-tuned over the years and really worked, the people who you see on the cable news channels would be all out of a job. They'd be out of a job.
Yeah, and why doesn't the immigration system work? Who overwhelmed it, actually? You know, Trump didn't overwhelm the immigration system. It was the Democrats when they were in charge of the federal government. They gave us open borders, and they gave us millions and millions of people entering the country illegally who were given summonses to come to a court hearing a year hence. And, of course, nobody shows up. The immigration system is overwhelmed, but who overwhelmed it?
Yeah. And I love, Chris, finally, where, yeah, you said a year hence. I mean, it's crazy. In the teeth of this whole thing, you hear about, well, when's your immigration hearing? Oh, it's in 4 years from now or something like that. It's mind-boggling how overwhelmed the system is.
Yeah, but, you know, who overwhelmed it? The Democrats overwhelmed it. Why did they overwhelm it? I think they overwhelmed it because they knew it was going to skew the congressional and state legislative districting in favor of the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Chris Powell. Chris, chrispowellcolumn.com. Check him out. Chris, always not fearful of taking on the tough stuff. Chris, thank you, my friend. Be good and go easy on stuff from 1960s commercials, okay? Will you do that for me? Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Man, I can't tell you how popular this segment is, and I hear it from both sides. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist, who's become a lot more feisty online lately with actually a few Connecticut conservatives that I know. Mr. Haar, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, one or two of those guys are really, it's shocking that they have any respect. And some of them are smart and good. And you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, it is. But I always, the exchanges, they wake me up, Dan, before I go to bed. The debate tonight, what do you make of this thing? And let me pose this to you, because I've been saying this all day, and I had the estimable Mr. Chris Powell on last hour. I think for his long-term prospects, even if he loses tonight or is perceived to have been bested by the governor, I think Josh Elliott long-term could really benefit from a solid performance tonight. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I have not been thinking of this debate as super high stakes because he's not expected to do, to certainly to win. And right now he's behind by, depending on who you look at or talk to, maybe 20 points. So, is 60, 40 a sort of imaginal line? A lot of this race is about sending a message to Lamont that it's not okay to amass $15 billion in surpluses and fail to increase spending on services such as, you know, children's services and so forth. Housing, the governor has done a pretty good job. Education, we've had the debate, and Josh is going to make a big point that education funding is not up to speed. But a lot of that is because education inflation is higher than CPI inflation. So we get a little technical. The long and the short of it is, yeah, Josh is keeping his seat.
Yeah.
He's running for and going to win his seat in Hamden. And he's going to remain an influential legislator. He's going to remain a leader of a fractured progressive movement. But I have not seen this as a high stress, high stakes evening. I look at it as a good piece of political entertainment and information.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's Ryan Fazio, who has just kind of been gliding here on the Republican side. Some new commercials, including the fact that we find out he's a lefty on the mound and still has some pretty good zip on the ball.
Yeah, Fazio got a break with the implosion of, as we've talked about, the implosion of Mayor Stewart, Aaron Stewart, and he has been able to present the soft side of Ryan Fazio. The hard ball will come, right? That'll come in the fall, but right now he's, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, and when he did the forum on WFSB, my partner's over there, last week, July 15th, I believe, a week ago today. He was able to talk about he was even able to escape the Trump questions, you know, about ICE.
Yeah.
Because the question from the Democrat, you know, they have my friend Jimmy Tickey and my friend Thomas Claridis, the Republican and the Democrat.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, Jimmy asked, you know, do you support ICE? Do you support ICE? And he's still able to deflect that. Now, his ads now reflect that deflection. He's a nice guy, and he is a nice guy. Everybody likes, you know, Ryan Fazio. Nobody who doesn't like him. And he's able to deflect the questions about Trump. Will he be able to do that in the fall? That remains to be seen.
All right. Some Yale legislators, Yale alumni and alumna, urging the school there, Old Ivy, Bulldogs, bow, wow, wow, not to settle with the Trump White House. What's going on here?
Well, they're angry, and they want it to be known that they're angry. You know the definition of a nanosecond, right?
Yeah. What
is it? It's the difference in time between when you meet a Yalie and you learn that they're a Yalie. Low blow, I know, low blow. But it's led by Matt Lugo.
Dan, I will run into a lot of Yalies this hockey season, and I will attribute that to you. But go ahead.
Yeah, please do. And it's not just Yale, but here in Connecticut, you know, we have Yale. So led by Matt Blumenthal, who has a platform as, you know, chair of a committee, the GAE. And he as a Yale alum from the law school, is there are eight of them in total, all Democrats who went to Yale in one form or one is the spouse of a Yale professor and the other seven have degrees from Yale.
Yeah.
And they're saying, look, on this accusation by the U.S. Department of Justice that you gave unfair admission preference to black and Hispanic applicants for the law school, the medical school, and the college. If you cave in, it wasn't just, please don't cave in, we're watching. It's if you cave in, who knows what may happen to your privileges for tax abatements, not abatements, but tax benefits in Connecticut.
Oh.
Who knows what may happen with Connecticut and not invoking certain governance aspects that we have. Who knows? This may happen to you, and we may not be there to protect you the way we have.
Wow.
And so I called it a threat, and I continue to call it a threat. But it's a viable threat, and it's not a mean threat. It was a threat among friends. Yale alums to their beloved university saying, do not cave. And the lowest blow of all, what's the worst thing you can say to someone from Yale?
Go Harvard?
Go Harvard. And what they said was, Harvard didn't cave. They're winning because they won the lower court ruling in Massachusetts. You can too.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, I see the threat, though, Dan, sort of like out of a mob movie. Hey, nice restaurant you have here. Pity if something happened to it, right?
Well, that's actually the way I phrased it in the column. I said that they informed Yale that it would be a shame if anything happened to their tax abatement from the state of Connecticut.
And finally, Eversource in the news again, and I was telling my listeners this has actually been in the pipeline for years. A lot of the country's already on board with these smart meters. Explain what's going on here, and yet another contentious episode looks like it may be coming.
Smart meters would have cost $600 to $700 million to install across the Eversource footprint had it been done 6 years ago when they were talking about it, but because they were feuding with then-chair of Pura, Marissa Gillette, it got put off and put off and put off among all this money squabble. They're now filing yesterday that it would be $1.23 billion with a B, and, you know, it's roughly $1,000 a house. And they're saying, look, this is money that you're going to have to pay because we have to upgrade the metering system anyway.
Yeah.
We can't keep limping along with old meters. I'm very happy with my old meter. It doesn't seem to measure all the electricity.
Me too, yeah.
but all kidding aside, what the new generation of meters do is they allow, it's not just, gee whiz, we need a new meter, the old meter is old. It's that the new meters, because they're in real time, they tell the system exactly what's down where, and they tell the system exactly how to charge by time of day when the time comes that we really need to get serious about that. And they're going to be very much better about the expansion of solar, which is, as you know, a logistical nightmare, controlling what assets are online, what generation is online. So it's a lot of reasons to have it, and it's expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, let me just slip this in with you quick here, because you would know this. I'm glad you brought that up. I read the aspect here of the meters will allow them to adjust rates by time of day. So you and I are old enough to remember what they used to call off-peak hours. Does that not exist anymore or not?
I understand UI uses it. I'm not a UI customer, but I understand UI uses it. CL&T, which still, you know, Eversource is still Connecticut Light and Power in Connecticut. CL&P does not use off-peak billing. And one of the reasons is policy. Another of the reasons is expense. And the expense is due to the fact that it would be a metering nightmare because you don't have these more advanced meters.
Excellent. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media. Dan, what might our listeners be looking for from you in the next day or so? What are you working on?
Well, I'm going to write about the debate, so you can look for my column in the morning about the debate. And what I'll be focusing on is whether and to what degree this thing is friendly versus nasty, because the ads are right in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, you could argue that a person who is still nonetheless friendly with the governor is accusing the governor of being in bed with his fellow billionaires. Mm-hmm. But when you hear it coming out of his mouth with the candidate, with the governor standing 6 feet away, the tone of that is going to matter to me as much as the message.
Absolutely. Dan, we'll read it tomorrow. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy tonight. Be good.
Thank you.
All right. Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media.